Step side, going for Fitzgerald. Touchdown, Arizona. David Johnson off to the races. He will score. Touchdown, Arizona.
And it is Patrick Peterson who comes up with the spectacular interception.
Heading for the pylon.
Nobody else believed in us. When nobody else believed in me, you guys did. And we're going to the Super Bowl.
Ahoy, hoy. Welcome to episode 94 of the British Bird Gang Breakdown, the UK's number one Arizona Cardinals podcast, and that's a fact. At long last, we're here, the start of real, actual, meaningful American football to start the 2020 NFL season. As ever, I'm Tom, and I'm joined by Callum to break down everything Arizona Cardinals as we mosey on to week one of the season.
Tom, I'm absolutely buzzing. It's Tuesday night. There's football, like, in a few days. I'm so excited. I didn't think we would be getting to this point. We've got Cardinals football this Sunday. Yeah, are you as excited as I am?
It's like Christmas Day all over again.
Absolutely. Really, even 2 weeks ago when we went and sort of recorded our update, I still had it in my head that the season might just get cancelled, but it really does look like it's going to go ahead.
Thankfully, we need something this year to look forward to anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that one of the things that made the season feel real was last weekend, you know, last Sunday that's just gone, I did like half a dozen fantasy football drafts.
I mean, you could tell it's football season coming up because you've got fantasy football drafts coming out your ears. In fact, I'm doing one right now as we're recording.
He's not even kidding. Tom genuinely said to me, he was like, oh, you know, I can record tonight, but just so you know, I'll be doing a draft in the middle of it. And I was like, right, all right, let's see how it goes. I guess we might as well move the fantasy football up to the top of the show, ignore some of the news stories that we can talk about later, and talk about, you know, year 8 of the British Bird Gang Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy weekend with all leagues of Bird Gang Bowl, VIII. Or 8 for the uncultured ones out there.
You've got to do Roman numerals for a football competition, right? I think it's written in the coda somewhere.
Even though I think the NFL have scrapped that now, but shame on them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I still think it looks way more stylish. But yeah, year 8 of the Bird Gang Bowl, and we had, I think, 8 leagues total, right?
Yeah, it was 8 leagues, 80 people once again this year. Could have probably had more, but, you know, you don't want to push it so it's, like, ridiculously big, like, 100 teams, you know. Over, like, I think 10 teams works.
You know, when you get 8 leagues of 8 people, 10 people, it's like you're likely to get enough people who actually want to play and they're going to be there all season and they're not going to just draft a team and then disappear. And for the most part, you know, it seems to me like the British Bird Gang has people who are actually showing up every week and setting teams and offering trades and stuff, which is always really nice.
Doesn't always have people joining up when they're supposed to, though.
Yeah, we can leave that by the wayside, though. I've seen some of the behind the scenes drama on that, but the point is we've managed to get all 80 people joined up, and all 80 teams drafted over the last sort of 5 or 6 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had like one league's drafting on Friday for some unknown reason. The rest of us were normal, kept it on Sunday, as is traditional.
It's such a standard thing to do, right? Is like draft the Sunday before the season starts, but there you go. Anyway, regardless, we're now all drafted. And on this podcast, that can only mean one thing. We've done it for literally years, where we've gone now and we've chosen our favourite team names out of all of the team names that people have come up with.
Well, I mean, we could do that. Or we could actually start about talking about our own teams, bragging about how good we are and how much we're not going to win the league this year.
All right, yeah. I've got an interesting team for you this year.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did as well. And I think we were both the same this year. We both got the number one overall pick.
Genuinely, I wouldn't see it as too bad of a thing if people started screaming conspiracy on that. I could totally understand why. We didn't even sort of really know about it until we were putting together the episode for this week. And yeah, we realized that we were both number one overall.
I mean, I hate having a number one pick because that's just added pressure. If it was up to me, I would choose like pick 3 or 4, like I say all the time.
See, the thing I like about a number one pick in a snake draft, at least, is that after a while you get those double picks. And to me, the double picks add quite a lot of sort of strategic elements to them.
Unless, like, both of your selections that you want to take are taken, like, the pick beforehand, which happened to me, like, quite a lot.
That does happen, but that's when you got to just start thinking on your feet. It's also when I realized that in the new client, the flagging somebody meant that it put them to the top of your list. And then if you put on auto pick, just in case you weren't there, it will pick them. So in my non-British Bird Gang League, in one of those, I took Dan Arnold in like round four, because I'd like, I was looking through and I was trying to flag people that might be interesting later. So I've got Cardinals tight end number two sitting in like the fifth round or something.
I mean, it'll be the top tight end by the end of the season.
He will be, he will be. We managed to not get too much into the Dan Arnold hype train last week, but you know, it's exciting at least.
We can start this week, it's fine. I made sure that Isabella Necessary on a bike had him in their team.
I still really, that's a fantastic name. Oh man.
I mean, I think I picked him like, well, obviously with me having the first pick, I had like 18, 10, and then 19, 1. I took him on one of them picks and then a kicker in the next round after that.
That seems like a sort of reasonable amount. You know, like you don't, kickers are always kind of the garbage end of picks. And I, especially in a Bird Gang league, if there was a Cardinals player you wanted, you've almost kind of got to artificially inflate them by a round.
Yeah, I mean, I did that with Kyler Murray with my team.
Yo, same here. I've got Kyler Murray sitting there as well. I've got two QBs this year. I managed to also pick up Aaron Rodgers, and I've got an interesting choice there of whether I start Kyler Murray or Aaron Rodgers in week one.
I think I was looking at your team as well. You've got, like me, you've got Christian McCaffrey, you've got Kyler Murray. You've also got George Kittle.
I mean, I think part of that is a symptom of picking first and kind of getting to that stage a lot faster than other people. But yeah, being able to pick up Kittle was fantastic. I've got him in one of the flex positions. It's looking good.
And he has the bonus of playing Arizona twice a year.
So. He does. And Arizona have a horrible, horrible record against tight ends. But now that we've got, you know, extremely well-paid safeties, who knows what will happen there.
I should say as well that League One kind of messed up this year. We have, like, a really massive roster by my mistake.
I was going to say, who's the commissioner of League One again, Tom?
I don't know. It must be someone else. It mustn't be me.
It was Tom. Everyone, it was Tom.
But no, for some reason, we've got an extra flex position, so God knows what the scores are going to be like this year in League One.
Yeah, you guys are going to be off the charts a little bit, but there you go. Did you manage to pick up any other Cardinals, or did you have any other Cardinals in your firing line?
Not particularly, no. I did have the option to take DeAndre Hopkins at one point, but I thought, no, I'm not going to take him and have Kyler Murray at the same time. So I think I took Amari Cooper instead.
That's fair, that's fair. I was looking at Kenyon Drake a few points and just, you know, I think part of the pressure of having picked Christian McCaffrey first meant that I'd sort of, I needed to focus less on running backs, and by the time I got round to him, he was gone.
Should we get on to our annual cursing of everyone's teams?
Absolutely, yeah. I've got two special shout-outs before we go. Particularly, I enjoyed the South Lanarkshire Buckies. I thought that was a very appropriate team name there. And I think it was Adini Kennard in League 3 as well, I quite liked. So those are my two Scottish shout-outs in particular that I really enjoyed.
Into League 1 for the cursing potential, we've got Larry's Jockstrap, Canard Pilter Swallow, Clutching Up, Arizona Celtic, Oedipus, and the Motherfuckers. I mean, what a name that is.
I'm surprised it fit into the like profanity filter, but also the character limit.
I mean, I'm kind of glad they're in League One because it gives me an excuse to say that word like anytime I get to play them.
It's true, yeah. We'll only swear when necessary, I guess, on this podcast, but there's a choice for it.
There's also my name, but we're not going to choose me because that'd be biased.
You just don't want to be cursed again.
I know, and now I've got to make a pick in my fantasy draft, so we'll see.
In that case, I'll finish off. So the rest of that league, Division 2, we have Isabella Necessary on a bike.
Good name, though. What do you came up with that?
My TE, Ertzwin Eitfurt, which, yeah, okay. The Nooks of Hazard, Cliff's Fire Pit, and Victoria's Secret. I've got to say, I've it's funny how many non-Cardinals names there are and how many very out-of-date Cardinals names there are.
I mean, at least there's no more Guns and Rosen or anything like that.
Yeah, the Rosen names seem to have gone away. But yeah, Tyler Eifert one, Zach Ertz one. Yeah,
you'd be a lot better off if they were Cardinals related. You know, we prefer those as puns, not random outsiders.
In terms of if we're not allowed to choose yours there, Tom, we've got I quite like Canard Pill to Swallow. And I do really like Oedipus and the Motherfuckers, despite the fact that that's not, you know, a Cardinals pun. I just think it's a fun name.
I think we'll go with Canard Pill to Swallow.
Yeah.
They can be the one to be cursed.
Curse upon you, Canard Pill to Swallow. Moving on to League Two, we've got Opportunity Nooks. Jaegermoos for you? How are we going to go for that one?
I just got to open up the link myself because I'm slow.
That's all right.
I mean, I don't want to put too much things on my laptop or else it's slow. I say Jaegermoos for you.
Jaegermoos.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah. We've also got the South Lanarkshire Buckies, one of my favourites. It's a Hard Nook Life. Cards Against Humanity. Beats by DeAndre. K1 to D-Hop. Buddha Baker's Candlestick Maker. Gattaca. And Mac Attack.
I think it's obvious which one wins here.
Buddha Baker's Candlestick Maker.
No, that's not the one I was going for. I was going for It's a Hard Nook Life.
I do like It's a Hard Nook Life, and especially because it puts a little tune in my head every time I hear it. But I think this is a strong league, actually.
It's better than League One, for names anyway, yeah. Not for presence and chance of winning.
Buddha Baker's Candlestick Maker, I do like a lot. I think that's a fun rhyme.
And it's also Cardinals related.
It is also Cardinals related, yeah.
But so is Nook Life.
I've got to say, Nook is definitely the most commonly chosen pun name so far.
Exactly. There's like also Beats by DeAndre, Opportunity Nooks, which for some reason has a LA Rams-like logo. Not sure what that's all about.
Yeah, it's definitely a slightly odd one, but there you go.
So we're down to two, really, for this one.
Yeah. I'm putting my strong vote in for the Candlestick Makers.
We'll go for that one, then.
I think there's plenty of other Nook-related puns later.
Into League Three, and we've got another fine selection of names, I think. I don't know, I've not actually seen them until it's loaded up.
Well, in this one, we've got a really, really old-school one, but for Division One, we've got Isaiah Little Prayer for You, Buddha Baker's Dozen, the Carson Face Palmers, Sheila's Shagadelic O-Line, and the Sunderland Cardinals.
And then Division Two's the Cardinal Sins, Little Bit of Nookie, Lecky Boom Boom Down, Captain Kirk, and another original, Beats by DeAndre. Is that going to be this year's Murray Mintz or Guns N' Rosen?
Beats by DeAndre is like, it's such a, that's definitely a common one, but it's interesting because it's like, that's the only joke for DeAndre Hopkins, although we did have K1 to D-Hop, I suppose. That's the DeAndre Hopkins joke, but the Nook jokes are all like unique. It's really interesting.
My favourite one would be Isaiah Little Prayer for You.
Yeah, I'm into that one. And a special like anti-shout out to the Carson Face Palmers because, man, that's old now. Moving on to League Four, we've got David Johnson and a second, the Arizona Cardinals, the Grand Canyon, Fitzfingers, Pumpkins Pirates, Nook 'Em All, Saving Matt Ryan, Palmer's Llamas, the Unbearables, and Fits Like a Glove.
I think it has to be the Grand Canyon here. All the rest are a bit boring and lame.
Yeah. Fitzfingers, we've seen many times. Nook 'Em All, you know, at least it's a Cardinals pun. And then we've got, yeah, Matt Ryan pun and a Palmer's, another Carson Palmer one, which is, come on, guys.
And then something about pumpkins, which has nothing to do with Arizona or Cardinals or anything.
Unless it's a really deep reference that's too deep for either of us.
Nah, no references above us. It's not us who are out of touch, it's the kids.
It's the children who are wrong.
Into League Five, and we've got, for fuck's sake, we've got Murray Mintz.
I feel like I need to start like dropping points for Murray Mintz. It's like, that was last year's joke, and it was overdone then.
There's also the Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah, that goes all right.
Add Dinner, Kenyon. Kenyon Stop Me Scoring. Kingsbury's Bachelor Pad. Jamie's Jet. No, that's not going to win. Jets, get out. Tucson Toucans, Weekside Warriors, Sweaty Cardinals 2020, and the Fresh Prince of Hell-Air.
There's some really good ones in there. I, as I said before, Adeni Kenyon, favourite of mine.
Isn't that a Scottish one?
It's a pun on I dinna ken, as in I don't know.
Fair enough. Us English would understand.
It tickled me. Kenyon stopped me scoring, I think, was a good one here. I quite like that. And I would say bonus points for the Toussaint Toucans, because it's hard to say. I like it.
I mean, Fresh Prince of Hilaire is a decent pun, but they don't even have Clyde Edwards-Hilaire in the team. So what's that all about?
What they do have, though, is they've changed their little logo to that scene from the end of the Fresh Prince, which is quite a neat little logo.
I think we'll go for the Scottish one.
All right.
Because it makes no sense, and Scott...
Just be careful what you're about to say.
Can't get political on here, so it's fine.
All right, we've got League Six. We've got All About the New Kid, Two Girlies, One Cup, Murray Up and Wait, Bigger Than D-Hop, Austin 3rd and 16.
Oh, it's meant to be a play on the wrestling thing, Austin 316, but 3rd and 16, American football.
Yeah, you're right.
Fits and Pieces, Yorkshire Cardinals, another Buda Baker candlestick maker. That one's immediately scribbled out. That can't
It's DQ'd.
Drake It Till You Make It and Kingsbury Rules rounds out League Six, is that? Yeah.
Okay, I quite like Kingsbury Rules. I think that's quite creative. And Drake It Till You Make It is, I think, my favourite here.
I think we're on the same wavelength there, because that's the same one I've just written down.
I'm definitely on a Drake It Till You Make It train. But I do like Kingsbury Rules.
Our penultimate league is League 7, which happens to be your
league. Yeah, that's my league.
Which means you're not allowed to be chosen. I mean, you want to be chosen anyway, with that name.
Yeah, I didn't go for a Cardinals pun name. I went for the Quality Quarantiners, because I was trying to come up with a name while I was signing up, and I never did change it. So there you go. In the league with me, we have Tactical Nook, Buddha Wooda Cuda, Stiff for Cliff, St. Fitz and Nevis, Buddha Baker's Dozen, The Kingsberries, Arizona Hammers, Floyd Strikes Back, and The Inevitable Beats by DeAndre.
That's another one crossed off the list. That's not winning.
I quite like Buddha Wooda Cuda.
Now, the one I was going for was St. Fitz and Nevis.
Yeah, I do like that as well. That's quite creative. A pun on St. Kitts and Nevis.
A place I've never been, never will be going, probably.
I mean, it's such a small place. So that's what makes it even funnier.
And last but not least, we've got League 8. I mean, there's not really many names here. They're decent, just looking at it. So we've got Murphy's Law. We've got Mo. We've got Fitz Nuke Gang. Let Me Take a Photo. Budda Bing, Budda Boom. It's a Hard Knock Life. No, that's not winning Murray's Mints. Go away. The Grand Canyon.
Another one.
We can't choose that one again.
Yep.
Although that one hasn't even spelled his name right.
Yeah, that's true.
Then there's also Cliff's Notes and Kyla B. So Murray 20.
Oh, boy. Maybe I'm just predisposed to liking Buddha Baker ones, but I think Buddha Bing, Buddha Boom is the best one out of there.
I think it has to be that one, because the rest do a bit rubbish.
I mean, it's a Hard Knock Life. We've got to say, honorary mention, because it's a good name, but we've already chosen one, and this person just has the disadvantage of being in League 8.
Well, no, we never actually chose that in the first place, did we?
Oh, we didn't.
But we still won't choose it this time.
Fair enough.
We can move on for some fantasy football. And obviously, again, next week with more fantasy football, because we'll actually have games to talk about. So we'll brag about how good we did.
Yeah.
Or not.
And I am extremely looking forward to some football happening.
Yeah, so we go from fantasy football to reality football. And the NFL returns this week, which means we'll actually have content for the podcast, starting with the Arizona Cardinals 53-man roster.
Yeah, as usual, Cardinals, one of the last, I think, were they the last team out with it this year?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because I was in bed when it came out.
Yeah.
I only saw it in the morning afterwards.
They're always traditionally very late with it, and they were, as usual this year. And we got down to our 53-man roster. Of course, 53 men. We're talking, three guys who are explicitly special teams. So we've got, a kicker, a punter, and a long snapper, with no surprises there for us, which leaves 25 players on offense and 25 players on defense.
A nice even split, as always.
Yep.
You like to see it. So kicking off with the quarterbacks, we're carrying three this year. We've got Kyler Murray, Brett Hundley, and CFL legend Chris Streveler.
So I thought this was interesting to, right off the back here, because generally speaking, you can do a lot of things with a 53-man roster. You can juggle it about here and there. But my opinion would have been that you for the quarterbacks take two at the moment. You take Kyler Murray and you take Brett Hundley, and you don't take a third so that you've got more space open for other positions. And I definitely think that there's at least one other position on offense specifically that I would have taken an extra guy rather than bring Chris Traveller, but presumably they know what they're doing there.
Well, I mean, they do say they could be using him in a certain, in like ways like the New Orleans Saints use Taysom Hill.
Yeah, sort of bringing him in for certain packages and things like that.
But I mean, like, Kyler Murray does everything he does, but better in the passing game anyway.
That's the thing, isn't it? Is like, anytime you've got, you know, if you had Chris Traveller, you know, lining up under center, and you think, well, if Kyler Murray's healthy and ready and sitting on the sideline, then what's the point, you know?
I'm intrigued to see what they do with him, though.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they're doing this for a reason, and it's not like in previous years when we've talked about having a deep quarterback set. It's, you know, we've been worried about, you know, injury reliability and stuff like that when we had Carson Palmer and when we had both the first years of Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. But, you know, now we're working with a bit more of a known quantity. We know he's quite resilient. We know he's not going to go down after, you know, one tap or anything like that. I would be tempted to say, you know, generally, your default would be to take Kyler Murray and Brett Hundley. But yeah, interesting choice. I would be really interested. I think it'd be really cool to see Chris Traveller on the field.
I assume the position you were talking about, where we're carrying a few less than usual, would be running back? Because we're only carrying three into the season this year.
Yeah, that's the exact position I was going to talk about, because we've taken through Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds, and Eno Benjamin. But it's, you know, seems to me that DJ Foster kind of lost out there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a strong special teams player, but that's probably about it. There's not really been much else from him, has there?
I mean, I would say that there's a couple other guys on this squad who are in here for strong special teams performances and not much else. I mean, the other thing that DJ Foster showed, I think, in camp was really good, strong pass protection.
Maybe they've seen more of that from Eno Benjamin, though, because, I mean, we're not privy to much of what they've done this offseason because there's not been much coverage, has there?
Well, absolutely. And I think that this is one of the places that DJ Foster could have lost out, because last Sunday or the Sunday before would have been our practice game against Denver, you know, our traditional practice game. And that's usually the game when you see, you know, these guys, the sort of, maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't make it, getting their kind of last chance out on the field to show something, to prove that they could make it to this roster. And we really missed out on that this year. So I think Kingsbury's had a tough call there, trying to balance, you know, bringing in young guys and keeping it quite a young squad, whilst also making sure that everyone that he was bringing on had been able to prove themselves.
I mean, there's no surprises with the other two on the roster. There is the Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds. They're basically the one, two anyway.
Yeah, I think that those guys would have been completely, you know, set anyway. I don't think they could have done much to really kind of lose their spot. But, you know, Benjamin over DJ Foster, I would have thought it would be nicer, or it would have been better to just not have to choose between them anyway.
Onto the wide receiver room, and they're carrying six this year. We've got DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Keyshawn Johnson, Andy Isabella, and Trent Sherfield.
Nice to see this room quite broad, I would say.
Of course, Twitter was it up in arms that a certain Hakeem Butler didn't make the team.
Yeah. Did he make the practice squad?
He's not made anyone's practice squad so far, I don't think.
I mean, he seems like too much talent to let completely go, right? Like, he's going to end up somewhere.
And yet he hasn't just yet. So who knows what's going on there?
Knowing our luck, he will get signed to somebody, you know, as soon as we've finished recording.
You should probably put he in here. There's been some breaking news today regarding one of our wide receivers.
That's a very good point. There has been.
You need to find somewhere to squeeze it in because, you know, actually got current news to talk about, which is a rarity for us.
But yeah, I mean, and actually following our breaking news lineage from 2 weeks ago, we've got another massive contract to talk about.
Yep, DeAndre Hopkins and the Cardinals came to terms on a 2-year extension worth $54.5 million. For the maths geniuses out there, that's $27.25 million per year.
Yeah, it makes him the best paid non-quarterback in football ever, which is quite spectacular. And I think something like $42 million of that's guaranteed.
I'm not sure it's totally true, though, because it's just added on to his current contract. So he's basically on a 5-year contract at the moment worth about 90-ish million, which is about 18 million a year.
Interesting. So I guess it kind of depends how you stack the things up, stack up the figures.
Obviously, I think he's probably going to get more money up front, you know, like signing bonus and all that. Otherwise, why would he sign the contract in the first place?
Yeah, yeah. And as you've stated here in the show notes, Tom, that he actually negotiated all of that himself.
Yeah, apparently he has no agent, so fair play to him.
Yeah, well done. As for what that means to the Cardinals, obviously that's another big hit against our salary cap. Salaries are obviously a huge part of what goes into making the roster what it is. So presumably, you know, part of making this 53-man roster work the way it has been, you know, ensuring that some other guys that are less well-paid are in the squad.
I mean, there has been a few people taking issue with the fact that Trent Sherfield made the roster, but I think it's mainly for his special teams ability.
Well, this is exactly one of the guys I was talking about when I was saying that, you know, there's people here who've come in specifically for their special team stuff. And when we're talking about stuff like kick receiving and stuff like that, you know, when we were getting down to using Patrick Peterson last year and the year before, I think that really spoke to the fact that we were struggling to find someone who can do that. Because realistically, you don't want one of your starters out receiving kicks and punts because it's such a dangerous job to do. You want somebody who is kind of almost a specialist at that. And I think at the end of the day, it's the sort of place that can really help a guy like Trent Sherfield.
For sure. And hopefully we'll see more from Andy Isabella this year, our second round pick from last year.
Yeah, I think that would be, and hometown favourite as well, Andy Isabella. Yeah, I think it would be really good to see more of him. And, you know, perhaps now that Kyler's a bit more settled and perhaps the playbook's a bit more settled, we'll see a bit more rotation around the wide receiver core than we did last year. And, you know, guys like him will get a chance.
I wouldn't necessarily say he was a hometown fan. He's a fan favourite from us.
A fan favourite, yeah. Who am I mixing up? I'm mixing up with
Kirk, aren't you?
Kirk, yeah. But no, well, yeah, that's sort of more what I meant, is he's been a fan favourite for...
We'll move on to the offensive linemen. They're keeping 10 on the roster so far. That's DJ Humphreys, Justin Pugh, Mason Cole, J.R. Sweezy, Kelvin Beecham, Joshua Miles, Max Garcia, Lamont Gilliard, Justin Murray, and Josh Jones.
I mean, realistically, that's what you would expect, right? You've got your five starters in Humphreys, Pugh, Cole, Sweezy, and Beecham. You have basically a backup at every, you know, a backup for every specific position there. And I think that's brilliant because, you know, in previous years, we've had 9 and I think even 8 at one point offensive linemen on the 53-man roster. And I think it's really come back to bite us previously because we've had things like DJ Humphreys having to play in positions that he's not that comfortable with. We've had Justin Pugh and J.R. Sweezy both being moved around positions at various times to fill gaps. And I think it leads to substandard play, whereas, you know, as a unit, if you can get somebody in to patch the hole that's just been left, you're in a much better position.
I think in the past as well, we've had more linemen that can play multiple positions. I think this year is not quite the same.
I think we've had a clampdown on some of them that sort of have said like, hey, I'm happy to play, you know, right guard, but I only want to play right guard and I don't want to play tackle as well. So I think that's, you know, I think that's been part of it as well. Of course, only these guys will be dressed on game day, but, you know, you would hope that you weren't going to get more than 2 or 3 bumps and bruises during a game anyway, during one game.
Well, I mean, it is in the trenches anyway, so anything happens there.
You know, there's nothing particularly big and surprising for me within the offensive lineman core. I think it's just good, solid choices all round.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing to add there, really, from me either.
Yeah.
And our last defensive group is the tight ends, where we've kept 3.
Pretty big number for the Cardinals, really.
Yeah, we got Max Williams, Dan Arnold, and Daryl Daniels.
And, of course, 2 of those will be obsolete when Dan Arnold goes off pretty soon.
Precisely. He should be starting, not back up to Max Williams.
I think we'll see a bit of rotation around this group, especially when there's going to be differences in the exact packages that are called, like whether we're going for 4 personnel or 3 personnel or whatever, you know, whether essentially we need a blocker or a pass catcher. And I think we'll see movement around between this whole group there. And I would suspect that that's the reason that we've got 3 is so that we've got that sort of, you know, level of dynamicness. That's not a word, but that sort of dynamic nature to the playbook where we can move people back and forward like that.
I was going to say, you're just making up words now.
I am making up words now.
I suppose we can do what we want. It's our podcast.
We've got, so that's the 25 offensive players, and with the 25 defensive players, we might as well start off with the line.
Yep, on the defensive line, there's six players on there. We've got Jordan Phillips, Corey Peters, Zach Allen, Lakeith Fotu, and Rashard Lawrence. And I mean, that's probably a stronger defensive line than we've had in a fair while. Just have to hope that Zach Allen, like, actually plays this year and doesn't get injured.
Yeah, no, that's the tough part. But I mean, the closer we get to the season, I mean, it's now Tuesday. I would expect that there is now probably one more full padded practice before game day, which you know, hopefully means that we're less likely to get some serious injuries. I would imagine that's us at least locked in until game one.
We can hope so anyway. Hope no one picks up COVID or anything like that.
Yeah, well, that's the other danger, isn't it?
On the edge, we're keeping five people on the roster. Chandler Jones is a surprise, obviously.
Additionally, we've got Devon Kennard, Dennis Gardeck, Kylie Fitz, and Hassan Reddick.
Hassan Reddick, he still keeps around.
I was going to say, do you think we'll see anything interesting from Hassan Reddick this year? We've really not seen, you know, we've seen flashes here and there.
I mean, to be fair, edge is probably his best position. So maybe he'll actually do something there.
Yeah, I think I would love to see him getting in on the pass rush the way that he had in, you know, in college and in a lot of the film that we were seeing when he got drafted. And I'd just love to see him sort of make any impact at all. And to some degree, you would almost think that this season is kind of his last chance, really.
Well, I think it is because he's out of contract at the end of it.
It's a real shame that we've not seen that much from him because he's clearly got the physicality. You know, his stats are crazy. He's a big, strong dude, but he's just, you know, never been able to put it together. It's been, you know, injuries and unavailabilities and all sorts of stuff like that. But I also think, you know, when he has been on the field, it's really been, you know, touch and go as to whether there's any actual difference being made.
I think Kylie Fitz is another name that's not too familiar with anyone.
I would agree so, yeah.
I mean, I've heard of his name in, like, preseason. He's been impressing a lot, but whether that means he sticks around, who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't really come across as the kind of, oh, this guy will definitely be on the, you know, on the roster. And to be fair, he's probably not going to be a starter, but I imagine we'll see him around.
Or if not, he'll just fill up the inactive part on game day, won't he?
Well, that's the tough part, isn't it?
Someone has to.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I suspect out of that list, maybe Hassan Reddick will be the inactive guy on that list, but there we go.
Inside linebacker, there's five on the roster. Jordan Hicks, Devondre Campbell, Isaiah Simmons, Tanner Vallejo, and Ezekiel Turner.
I mean, obviously, sort of Jordan Hicks and Isaiah Simmons were kind of shoe-ins there, and Tanner Vallejo probably, you could argue, was a shoe-in.
I'd say probably Campbell more than him.
I think that's arguable. I think, especially across the sort of camps and stuff like that, Tanner Vallejo's name has been kind of coming up again and again as sort of being quite versatile. He's able to be a ball hawk when he needs to, but he's also been sort of moving around, marking guys and getting in really well on blitzes. So, you know, I'm glad to see both of them on the list for sure. It's not a massive shock to me, but I would have said Tanner Vallejo would have been the kind of closer to being the shoe in there.
I think Ezekiel Turner's there for special teams as well.
I would definitely see.
As always, is someone.
Yeah, he would be on the special teams side, but, you know, somebody's got to be there for it. You got to have special teams guys.
And he's actually pretty good at it, so can't really complain about that. Cornerbacks, he decided to keep just four. There's Patrick Peterson, Byron Murphy, Dre Kirkpatrick, and Kevin Peterson.
I was going to say, do you think they kept Kevin Peterson on as like a decoy so that they sort of see over, oh, there's Peterson over there, don't throw in that direction, then they actually throw to Patrick by accident?
Did you see Peterson on the back? Yeah. Not really much to say about this group, is there?
As ever with cornerbacks, for us, it's like, okay, there's Patrick Peterson and the rest. And it's kind of, you know, it's just been, obviously Byron Murphy's been there for a bit longer, but, you know, otherwise it's just been a bit more of a rotation.
Which is a shame Robert Alford's name's not on there.
Yeah, I know. It's injured again, but there you go. And our final group of defenders, we've got the safeties with Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson, Deontay Thompson, Charles Washington, and Chris Banjo. Glad Buda Baker's on there after all the money we gave him.
It'd be a bit stupid to cut him, I assume.
Yeah. I got to say, though, five safeties is quite a lot of safeties to hold on to.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe four, but, you know, obviously Banjo and Washington are probably special teamers again.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think safety is a good position for special teams as well, because you can kind of get on to, like, for want of a better word, both the offensive and defensive side of special teams. Have we distracted you from your draft yet? Have I made you make any daft picks?
Nah, the draft is terrible anyway.
Fair enough.
I think I bombed it anyway, so never mind.
Oh, well.
We'll finish off with the special teams players. And that's Zane Gonzalez as kicker, Andy Lee as punter, and long snapper Aaron Brewer.
British Bird Gang multiple time MVP winner Andy Lee.
I always forget to give him his correct title.
It's got to be the full. No surprises there. As I said, you kind of just got to have your extra three guys. And Zane Gonzalez was steady for us last year. Andy Lee, as I said, multiple-time MVP. And Aaron Brewer, you know.
I don't recall him ever fucking up, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the only time that you know the long snapper's name is when he's done something really bad.
And, of course, it's not just the 53-man roster. We've got the practice squad. And in these unprecedented times, there's new rules for the practice squad. You've increased the number of spaces available and even allow for veteran, which is 4 years plus NFL experience, to be placed on them. Apparently Philadelphia taking the piss by putting 41-year-old Josh McCown on there.
Yeah, like $12,000 a week or something like that to sit on his sofa, just be ready. Yeah, in terms of our practice squad, we've not really got anybody that old on it, but we I think we've taken advantage of that rule with one or two guys. Just, you know, it's basically, from my understanding, just to allow you a better limit of guys in case you get a COVID positive test, right?
Yeah, it seems to be the case. And pretty much the 14 of the 16 names so far are just names who we've recently released to cut down to 53.
Yeah, as you would expect and as generally happens. Do you have any sort of big surprises for the practice squad?
What, besides Hakeem Butler not being on it?
Yeah, for me, the two big surprises are no Hakeem Butler, although it would have been nice to see him in the main squad as well, and DJ Foster being in there.
Well, DJ Foster's on it.
And I'm saying DJ Foster is the surprise is that he is in the practice squad and not in the main team.
Ah, fair enough.
I would also say that we definitely are very offensive heavy on the practice team so far. At least that's the way it feels.
Yeah, so the names we've got on the list so far are safety Kentrell Bryce, defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard, tight end Dylan Cantrell, defensive lineman Trevon Coley, running back DJ Foster, cornerback Chris Jones, offensive lineman Coda Martin, wide receiver Andre Patton, wide receiver AJ Richardson, linebacker Reggie Walker, wide receiver JoJo Ward, running back Jonathan Ward, linebacker Evan Weaver, and cornerback Jace Whittaker. I don't see why they keep Richardson around, because I'd never see anything with him.
Especially when we've got such a deep wide receiver squad anyway. I'm guessing it could be a special teams thing, but you know, I guess it's just one other thing to one other sort of guy to keep around, and you might as well, right? They must see something in him.
I mean, they're the ones in the job, I'm not, so.
Yeah, that's very true. And as for the other two spots, we're likely to get another one filled by the main squad that we've just gone through, because apparently the Cardinals have also just signed Angelo Blackson from the Texans.
Is anyone's guess? Maybe we'll have an update for next episode.
And then there's also one more spot that's open there as well.
I did see it could be a chance of a punter / kicker who we've had before that might be on the list.
Where's Chandler Catanzaro at these days?
Well, he retired and he unretired, and now he's back on the street again, apparently. But it's not him.
Interesting.
But, you know, now the rosters are set and the practice squad is filled, that means it's time for week one of the NFL season and the return of our game previews. But first, we have the weekly pick'ems to go through.
Yeah, and this week we have agreed on almost all of the games. We've got four differences at the moment. So, yeah, difference number one. Tom, you reckon Detroit are going to take out Chicago here. What's your thoughts behind that?
I think it's mainly just because Chicago are sticking with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. Don't understand that.
It's an odd choice, isn't it? And the Lions just got Adrian Peterson, didn't they?
You did, yes, after Washington cut him.
I doubt he'll make much of an impact or appearance, really. A, because he is old, and B, because you know, if he's only just arrived there, then he probably hasn't had time to learn the playbook and practice enough. But yeah, I can see why you would go with the Lions on this one. I've personally taken the Bears because, well, honestly, I think this game's going to be a bit of a coin toss anyway. And, you know, I think that the Bears managed to luck out in games like that.
One of the other differences we've got is Green Bay versus Minnesota, where I've decided to go for Minnesota.
Basically, we just can't agree on the NFC North this week, can we?
I think it might be the case all season.
At least between the Packers and the Vikings and the Bears and the Lions. In the other configurations of that league, I think it's a more clear cut. But I would definitely say, like, for me, I just have to go with the sort of historic rivalry there and the history of the Vikings just not showing up against Green Bay, even in years when they've been really strong. It's like Green Bay is their kryptonite. You know, they can be having an average year, and for some reason they just, as in sort of, yeah, Green Bay can be having an average year, and for some reason they just show up against the Vikings.
I just think the Vikings defense is looking really good this year, so I'm going to take that over Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Another difference we've gone for is the LA Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, okay, so the last two I would definitely say are a bit of a coin toss, and this one is very much the opposite, where, 79% of the NFL.com vote went with the Chargers.
But you're hoping that Joe Burrow has some sort of miracle on his debut?
Well, that's what I'm kind of thinking. I'm thinking, like, you know, the Bengals have really suffered over the past few years. They've really not had a great time of it. I'm hoping there's some sort of rejuvenation happens. And also I'm starting Tyler Boyd. So I'm just hoping that they manage to get at least a decent number of yards going.
And the last difference we've got this week is the Dallas Cowboys and the LA Rams.
And we're back to coin flip territory for sure here. I've gone for the Rams for no other reason than they are at home.
And I went for Dallas because they're not the Rams. But not just because of that. I think Dallas looks really good this year, especially on the offense.
I would agree, and I would definitely say that the Rams feel a little bit like they're on the down. You know, they're kind of on the downward trend, but I think, Cowboys looking pretty strong.
And for the games where we've got the same pick, we've got Kansas City beating Houston, Seattle beating Atlanta, Baltimore beating Cleveland, Buffalo beating the Jets, the Las Vegas Raiders beating Carolina, Indianapolis beating Jacksonville. Who isn't going to beat Jacksonville this year?
We've got New England to beat Miami. We've got Philly to beat Washington. We get New Orleans to beat Tampa Bay, which is, I think, a fun one for Cardinals fans to watch. We've got Pittsburgh over the Giants, and we've got Tennessee over Denver. And with that, that actually brings us to our game preview of the Cardinals week one against the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco, airing in the UK at 9:25 p.m.
Goodbye, sleep.
It's that time of year again. I just have to be tired on Mondays now. 9:25 p.m. though, it's all right. I can live with it for a Cardinals game.
Plus it means red zone for like 3 hours beforehand as well.
Yeah, exactly. We get our red zone, jump into the Cardinals game, find out what US adverts are like again. I imagine that's gone a bit mental since last year. Yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
It'll be Trump adverts, won't it, and all that.
It will. There'll be political adverts, and there will be adverts about how you and your family, like the company, cares about you and your family in these unprecedented times. But why don't you come and have a Burger King
and get back in the office, lazy bastard?
Exactly.
But yeah, the losers of the 2019 Super Bowl look to stop the Super Bowl hangover. And I think there'll be a stern test for Cliff Kingsbury's second season opening game.
Yeah, I think the NFL.com predictions kind of show, you know, how tough this game is going to be for the Cardinals, with 92% opting for the 49ers, which I think is the surest thing of the week. The Eagles to beat Washington is slightly surer, but other than that, people are pretty certain that the Cardinals are going to get beaten here. And honestly, I can kind of understand where people are coming from, because SF really have something to prove coming into this game.
I mean, it is going to be a tough game for Arizona, and I don't think it'll be a cakewalk anyway, either way. Well, not for either side, really.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the handicap at the moment, it's 7.5 in favor of San Francisco.
Which is only really, you know, it's a touchdown and a bet, but, I think it's going to be a hard-hitting game. I think it's going to be a really interesting one. I woke up to a text this morning from a friend who had taken the 49ers defense in their fantasy league, and they said, "What's the status with the Cardinals? Should I start the Niners defense?" And I was thinking, no, I wouldn't, actually. I think the Cardinals have a really strong offense here, but equally, I think the Niners have a strong offense. And not only that, they've got specifically an offense that the Cardinals struggle to deal with. So I wonder if this game's not going to be quite a high scorer.
Well, I mean, there is San Francisco's offense where they've got so many injury issues at the moment.
True, but they do have George Kittle, who absolutely bullied us last season.
On a couple of plays he did, yeah, but that's all they seem to focus on. You don't focus on any of the plays Buda Baker completely shut him down.
Nearly got his interception in as well, yeah.
But yeah, looking at San Francisco, they've lost JJ Nelson to injury reserve. I mean, why would they sign J.J. Nelson in the first place?
They were just looking at his highlight reel from the Packers like 4 years ago.
There's questions over Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel with injuries. And you've also signed professional injury getter Kevin White.
Sorry, I hadn't seen that bit in the show notes yet. Jeez, man.
It is what he is.
It's true. I mean, it's quite spectacular. But yeah, you're right. I mean, with sort of their rotating cast of their wide receivers, you know, that is a good question of who's Jimmy Garoppolo's main target going to be if it's not George Kittle.
I think it'll have to be Kittle, won't it?
At the moment, I can't see any other way than they're going to be able to do it. But equally, as I've said, with the Cardinals historically struggling against tight ends, it seems to be the way to do it. You know, it seems like the obvious choice. But equally, you know, this year, for the first time in a long time, the defense has had legitimately good tight ends to practice against, which I think could make a big difference.
And I mean, for fantasy football as well, as we both own George Kittle, quite a few catches would be nice, just as long as they're not for touchdowns.
Yeah. Like for garbage yards, like from, you know, the 20-yard line to the 40-yard line, anywhere in that region is fine for it. So I can live with that.
I think looking at it, you know, something like 20 catches for like 100 yards and no touchdowns, that'd be fine.
Yeah,
I'd take the 30 points.
Yeah, I'd take that. Easy peasy. That being said, you know, for all we're saying there, we've both predicted the Cardinals to win this game. What's your sort of path to victory? Can you see Garoppolo kind of having a lack of targets, and we've got Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, and we've got Kenyon Drake and stuff like that. But are you expecting it to be a shootout? Are you expecting quite a low scorer?
I'm expecting it to be a close game, because even last year in the losses to them, we kept it close.
I think the two losses to San Francisco were some of our closest games all year.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go for that trend. But for this game, I've gone for San Francisco 23, Arizona 24.
Ooh, that is close.
I mean, I do think San Francisco could win this game, but, you know, what's the point of starting off a season of promise with a defeat? Or predicting a defeat anyway?
That's fair.
Let me be a homer for once.
Well, you know, we've got to start off our seasons absolutely being optimistic about the future. I've got no reason to believe that this Cardinals offense isn't as exciting as Cliff Kingsbury and co. have been bigging it up to be. So I'm going to go with a 17-16 win for the Cardinals. So it's a close one. Specifically for us, that's two touchdowns and a field goal. And for them, that's two touchdowns and this safety.
Interesting. I would have said just like one touchdown and three field goals.
I'm going with the safety.
Don't want no safety. That means someone on the offensive line did something wrong.
Or Kyler Murray ran out the back of the end zone. Who knows?
I've been so negative. You.
I was just trying to come up with something really close. I'm going with 1716. That's enough.
And so for this being our first episode of the season, we should probably put down some season predictions. And I've got a whole host of ones to do because this episode's not long enough as it is.
Yeah, we're going for the bumper episode, and we're including bets now.
I mean, there's no money involved, but, you know, we can go for it wherever.
Yeah, sure.
When I'm not being interrupted by needing to draft, that is, anyway.
Go on, give us some live draft stats. Who have you got? What's going on here?
I'm not going to share because it's horrendous.
Oh, no.
Ah, well, it's not my fault. The league moderator messed everything up.
Yeah, why are you drafting on a Tuesday night?
I don't know. It was supposed to be on a Sunday, and then they changed it to Wednesday. And then, for some reason, they changed it to today.
Yeah, brilliant.
But yes, for these prop bets we've got for Kyler Murray, what are you taking over or under 3,959.5 passing yards?
As ever with these over-unders, it's kind of designed to be quite tricky. Do you know off the top of your head how many passing yards he had last season?
It was 3,000 and something.
Yeah, I remember him passing the 3,000 barrier, but I could have sworn I remembered him passing 4,000. I think I'm going to go over, with the idea being that just this year he'll have more time to do his reads, and he'll be going through more options and therefore be more likely to actually make connections with the passes rather than scrambling.
Okay, so touchdown passes, 25.5.
Under might be the more sensible option here. I think I'm going to go under with the idea that he's actually going to rush for quite a few touchdowns, and that we're also going to use Kenyon Drake a lot on the touchline.
And interceptions, for that one, I've gone for over. I think you could get maybe like 28, 29, maybe pushing to 30. If it was Madden, he'd be on like 80 or something. But, you know.
Yeah, I think over is the sensible option here as well. I think, you know, setting it approximately one per game is like, it could be worse, you know what I mean?
And for interceptions, 12.5, over or under?
I'm going over.
I was going to take the over as well, and I'll stick with taking the over.
Or it's on the optimistic side.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, all it takes is one game where he kind of falls apart a bit, and then you've got, you know, say three already there.
Our next player is Kenyon Drake, over and under 954.5 rushing yards.
I'm going over here. We only saw half a season from him last year, and I think I would love to see him break 1,000.
Yeah, I'm taking the over as well. I mean, that's pretty basic, 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, I don't think we have had one that often, have we?
The other thing that's happening this year, and kind of been coming in for a few years, is like the return of the running back by committee. And I think that makes it harder for any one guy to get over 1,000, but I would say since Kenyon Drake is so clearly our running back number one, that him hitting 1,000 is not unbelievable.
What about for touchdowns, 7.5?
Going with my previous one of Kyler Murray's touchdown number, I'm going with over because I see Kenyon Drake almost as our go-to to try at least once in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the over on that as well. I think you get at least double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, D-Hop as well, one of our other interesting ones you've given here, over under 95.5 receptions.
Well, I mean, I haven't. These are Vegas odds, I think.
The Vegas odds.
Which means we can't bet on them, but, you know, we can talk about them, metaphorically bet on them.
We can bet on them with each other, but only if we do them differently.
So for Hopkins, 95.5 receptions, over or under?
I feel I'm going to take over with that. I think D-Hop's probably going to be receiver number one on at least half of the playbook.
See, I'm going to take under on this one.
Interesting.
Just because there's so many people for Kyler to throw the ball to.
That's true, but I think when you look at last year, you know, hopefully he's going to be making more kind of long reads this year, but you know, given how quickly he was running through his options and then deciding to take the run last year, either being number one or not getting it is an option.
Over or under 1,184.5 receiving yards.
See, I'm going to go under here. Well, basically for the same reason that you just stated there, of I think that there's a lot of people to move it around. And I think that for, you know, certain longer plays, that he might not be the read. I think, you know, he might be the read for plays in the end zone rather than, you know, long plays downfield.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that as well. I'm going to take the under on that. It'll get over 1,000 yards. I just don't think it'll be 1,100 odd.
Yeah, well, that's nearly 1,200 yards. The over-under is 1,184. So I think that's kind of pushing it. It's on the higher end. So I'm going to take the under.
And the last one for Hopkins is 7.5 touchdowns.
I'm going to go for under, and then in this one stick with the same idea of run first in the end zone, both for Kyler and for Kenyon.
See, I'm going to take the over on that.
Especially after we paid him so much. You kind of want it. Yeah.
I mean, plus he's a big target, isn't he? So he's going to come down with jump balls.
That's very true. When you've got those 50-50 throws, you can still throw to him and feel confident he's going to take it.
And of course, we've got to include Larry Fitzgerald, because why not? It's Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for receptions, his over or under is 51.5.
All right, I massively underestimated Fitz's receptions last year, so I'm going over.
And last year he had 75, I think it was.
Yeah, he was just all over the ball all the time. And part of that was the fact that, like, we kind of didn't have as many other options on the squad. So, you know, you kind of hope he's going to have less, but I don't think he's going to have that much less.
I'm going to take the under on that.
Okay.
I just think maybe he'll only make, like, a couple of catches each game now, just because of the other options we've got at the position.
It's true, but if you think about Fitz as like the relief valve for the offense, like it's that sort of moment where if Kyler starts to panic, he just knows that Fitz is going to be like directly in front of him and he's going to catch whatever is thrown his way.
How about for yards, 605.5?
I'm going to go under here, especially because you see Larry playing close to the line a lot of the time. You don't see him going up for long yardage. I think he'll be under 605.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. I think he could get about 500-ish.
I think he could easily break 500. I don't think he's getting towards 1,000. And I think, you know, I think between 500 and 600 is a reasonable amount to expect him, but not over 600.
And this is something we haven't done before, but we can do it this year for the first time. Season award predictions.
Okay.
See how they pan out.
So is this the British Bird Gang season awards we're looking for, or the real season awards?
No, these are British Bird Gang awards. So we're basically going to predict them before they even happen, before the season happens. See how much of a genius we are.
All right.
Okay, so Rookie of the Year. I think this one's pretty easy. It's going to be Isaiah Simmons, isn't it?
I can see why you would think that, but I'm looking for a dark horse here.
I don't think you'll find one because he's a fan favourite, so he'll just win the award just being on there.
that's fair. Yeah, okay. If it's Urlot, then Isaiah Simmons, I think, is a good one. I was kind of looking for somebody who might come out of nowhere, but...
How about Offensive Player of the Year?
Kyler Murray. Has to be, right? It's like, regardless of how well we do, it's going to have been to do with Kyler Murray. With the outside shot that it could be Kenyon Drake, I think he had a good go at it this year. And I think if he was, you know, really instrumental, but that's like, you know, it has to be like a special thing for that to happen, you know?
Yeah, I could see that happening. But I think it would be Kyle, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would need to be like, you know, for anything good that we did, Kyler would be the default. Unless it happened to be that Kyler was having a screamer, but that Kenyon Drake was just like picking up all the pieces and like constantly making steady yardage, even when, you know, but you would hope that in any other situation, you would get Kyler Murray as being your Offensive Player of the Year.
How about Defensive Player of the Year?
In terms of impact, it's hard to look beyond Chandler Jones, especially, you know, with him being so high up in like the NFL choices. But for this one, I'm going to go Buda Baker. I'm going to go with that, with the idea that he's going to get a bunch of interceptions this year. He's going to return at least one for a touchdown at some point in the season. And he's going to just be like stopping big plays left, right, and center.
I take it that just means you'll vote like hundreds of times for him that way.
Yeah, I've already started writing a bot for it.
I mean, defensive one's a tough one because, like you say, there's Chandler Jones, there's Buda Baker, Patrick Peterson, if he returned to his form, he could be a favourite.
I don't know that if everyone would have forgiven Patrick Peterson for talking about leaving us for like 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but if you get some interceptions, people will love him. So
that's true.
Kind of fickle like that.
It's very true. I don't think there's many other people you can look at because it's hard to pick out individuals on a defensive play. You know, obviously there's the guy that makes the stop, but then there's, you know, all the defensive line work. You know, even if there's a sack, it's like usually the result of like five guys doing really well. But yeah, I think if Chandler Jones tops the list of sacks again, he gets it. And if Buda Baker gets enough interceptions in the year, he'll get it.
My pick for it is Chandler Jones because he's going to break the record this year.
I was hoping he would break the record this year.
And last but not least, we've got MVP.
I was trying to remember who won MVP last year. Was it Chandler Jones in the end that won it?
That's a good question. I should have looked that up first.
I think it was somewhere between Chandler Jones and Kyler Murray. And yeah, I mean, I think that you can't go wrong with a Kyler Murray pick here. But actually, given that I've already picked him as Offensive Player of the Year, I'm going to take Kenyon Drake as my MVP of 2020 with the hopes that with him having a full season, he's just going to have been such a workhorse. He's going to have scored a whole bunch of touchdowns and he's going to have had like two or three big memorable plays throughout the year.
I think I'm going to be boring. I'll go with Kyler Murray to be MVP.
That's fair. It's kind of ideal if you get your quarterback to be your MVP, right?
For sure. And I mean, he could be the MVP of the whole league if he wanted.
Yeah.
If he chooses to be.
Well, I'm a former Offensive Rookie of the Year, you know.
Why not follow that with
with an MVP.
MVP sorted. So yeah, last year we had the season predictions where we had a whole bunch of players like passing yards, rushing yards, touchdowns, that sort of thing. And we are going to do that again this year. But the fact that this episode's already like probably at least an hour long, once I've cut every bit of rubbish out, this is going to go on forever. So what we're going to do is we're going to work these out off the episode and I'll post them up on the British Bird Gang Twitter. And then you can follow the season, like how successful we are in these predictions.
I would also say, you know, if you see that tweet, please like tweet back your predictions for it as well. Because then, you know, if they're all in a sort of light of row or something like that, we can go back at the end of the season and see who got the closest.
Which means as well, because if you're not following us on Twitter, you should go follow us at British Bird Gang.
Yeah, we can move on to our plugs. Wow, it's the end of the episode.
Seems to have gone on forever, but that's what happens when football season's back. We're obviously hyped for it.
I could genuinely talk about it for like another hour, but yeah, we should wrap the episode up.
I mean, we could do, but who's the one who has to edit it?
I'll tell you what, why don't we just talk after the podcast for about an hour?
And of course, before we go, I've got to make one final selection in the draft.
Who's Mr. Irrelevant going to be?
Well, I mean, I'm not picking last, so I don't know.
Who's your Mr. Irrelevant then?
I don't know. I don't know who I want to pick because it's already a bit of a crappy draft, so that I'll draft a niner. That'll disappoint me.
At least if he doesn't perform, then it means the Cardinals have done better.
For sure. But I mean, I won't start him this week anyway. Yeah. So, but yes, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. If you're not following us on Twitter, I mean, I've already done that. If you're not on Facebook, follow us at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. It's kind of fun on game day in there. Apparently, I don't know. I'm not much for Facebook these days.
Yeah, it's quite a good spot for game day. If you're about on Facebook,
as long as I remember to post the thread up first.
Otherwise, it's chaos.
Otherwise, it's absolute chaos with like 20 million post requests of someone saying first down this and all that.
Yeah,
don't do that, please. British Bird Gang Magnets is still available. There's a tweet on Twitter somewhere. I'll probably whore it out again before the game.
I think it's still the pinned tweet.
It is, yes. So, you know, send us a donation. I'll send you a magnet. It'll make your fridge look nicer than what it looks already.
Alternatively, there's t-shirts at britishbirdgang.tmail.com.
Yeah, they're still there. And also maybe we'll have more stuff this season. Who knows?
Spooky.
Yeah, I know people have been badgering for stuff, so we'll see.
And finally, if you're in the British Bird Gang Bowl, then please do remember to set your lineups. First game is this Thursday.
Or don't if you're playing us, because, you know, we will take a win by default.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, they're the two sweetest words in the English language, so I'll always take a win by default.
But yes, that's it for this week's season preview episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. So, as always, thanks for listening and join us again next week. Hopefully, we'll have a good game to talk about.
Yeah, see you next week. And in the meantime, let's go Cards!
Woo.